I'm going to start by talking about Tiswas.
Yeah.
That was back in the early 1970s.
Talk about whatever you like, my man.
1974. Uh-huh. Was that the hype, that everybody had to be watching back in the early 1970s, do you think?
It was just of its time, really. I mean, there are bizarre things now, like if you go to universities, you can do theses on, you know, Tiswas. I think at the time we were just guys having a laugh. We were just me and Lenny and, you know, Jim Davidson and Sally James and Spit the Dog, whatever. Just doing silly things and whatever. I mean, we had a kind of discipline. I was technically the producer, so I used to say to Lenny, you can be as funny as you like, you've only got 2 minutes and 12 seconds. it was a weird time. I just didn't like Blue Peter. I still don't. And I didn't like those sort of rather twee, you know, hello children programs. We just did what we did because we didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
It was the only children's it sounds bizarre now, it was the only children's program at the time that actually had children on it.
Yes, I was going to say that, yeah.
You didn't have kids on at all, you know, they were all, it was very much talking down to children, and mm-hmm. we just thought, no, I mean, you know, my kids are ridiculous, they're funny, they're irreverent, they're whatever, but they're very nice people.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought, this is not, you know, what children really want.
No, no.
But now, everybody looks back on it and goes, oh, God, it changed the world, it was groundbreaking, it was this. I mean, we never felt that at the time. I mean, now, we clearly were a major part of, you know, sort of children's television history, if you like. Or
absolutely.
History, but we weren't doing anything, we didn't feel like we were doing anything groundbreaking at all. We just had a very nice time.
Good, good. Was that the your height of your career, would you say?
The height, the depth. It started me, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I do interviews with people who go, oh, I don't want to talk about that. And you think, oh, come on, it's where you came from, whether
absolutely.
It's a band or, you know, TV people or whatever. I mean, you know, I was working before that. I was basically it sounds bizarre now, but I was kind of a news reporter.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that.
So Tiswas changed my life.
Yes.
You know?
How?
Hang on, I'll just turn off this phone. Tiswas changed my life completely.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it changed Sally James's life, it changed Lenny Henry's life, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I'm hugely grateful to what it did for me. It made me nationally famous, whatever that means. And it gave me the option to go in all sorts of different directions, which I have done ever since.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what's a weird thing.
All right, okay.
Is that whenever I do, like, you know, an after-dinner thing or whatever, and mm-hmm. I do a Q&A session afterwards, okay, you know, ask me what you like. Bearing in mind that, you know, I've been going forever, and I started doing what I do in 1972, and, you know, I was doing the local news thing, and I did Tiswas, and I did Capital Radio for years and years and years, and I did Tarrant on TV, and mm-hmm. I did, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, which I still did, like, last night.
Yes, absolutely.
But the first question is always about Tiswas, and,
mm-hmm.
and I always go, oh, you sad people, and everybody cheers, whatever.
Well,
I mean, it's obviously of a certain age, mm-hmm. but actually, quite often, they might be 30, 35, and they will ask me something about, excuse me, Chris, first question, it'll be about Sally James or Spit the Dog or whatever, and you think, this is surreal. I mean, it had such an effect on mm-hmm. the world at the time.
Absolutely.
I think far more than we realised.
Yeah, and you didn't realise that until afterwards.
No, not at all.
Now in 2013.
We had a brilliant time.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, because
yeah.
it's been going for what seems like forever. 30 series.
At least forever.
At least forever. 30 series, or over 30 series, and over 580 episodes to this current day. Do you think it had been, did you expect it to go and run for as long as it has been?
No, I mean, what it is a brilliant, simple format. It's probably the simplest format ever devised, you know, 12, 15 questions, 3 lifelines. I mean, one of the weird things is that thing about all the answers are on the screen. Now, that sounds very obvious.
Yes.
But actually, until we did that, nobody ever did that. You never uh-huh. saw the answer on the screen. You
no.
just went, oh, I don't know, Chris, I feel lucky tonight, I'm going to gamble. You think, why would you risk this money? But then again, you're going, actually, I've seen B, I've seen C,
mm-hmm.
it's not D, I think it might be A. Oh, my, oh God, my house is at risk. You know, my wife's screaming at me from the audience. I'm
yes.
going to play. I mean, I did one last night. I did a live one last night. And I have to say, I mean, people always say to me, I always jump ship. I get fed up too early, you know, and I always jump. And with Millionaire, I haven't, because... Mm-hmm. I just enjoy it.
Yeah.
I've been there since like day one. I was very much part of the, you know, the initial sort of pilot, the formative period. I was there with David Briggs when we dreamed up the idea in the first place and all that. I'm hugely proud of Millionaire. And I can't believe how successful it's become. But no, if you're saying to me in 1998 when we started, did I expect to still be here in 2013 talking to you about, yes, I did yet another Who Wants to Be a Millionaire last night, and there's no sign of an end in this thing.
No,
I mean,
no,
of course I don't.
No.
But it's like I've got an interview somewhere with the Rolling Stones in 1963, I think, or 64, going, and Mick's going, yeah, if we get another 3 years, man, that'd be cool, you know. And you think that? I mean, I'm going to see him.
Yeah, look at that.
About a month's time.
Absolutely.
And that's really longevity.
Oh yes.
So no, I didn't. Of course, I didn't expect to last this long, or there to be, you know, an Oscar-winning movie about this game show,
no.
or there to be,
no, of course,
120 countries in the world that take it.
Well, that was
it's just a brilliant idea.
That was the other thing I was going to say as well. It's been so popular in so many countries. You've got the US version, you've got everything, and plus the Slumdog Millionaire as well.
Yeah.
It's just taken off, surely. And it must be quite something to think that you sitting down in 1998 being part of that production team and having that just going whoomph through the roof.
I love it. And I mean, I travel a lot. I mean, I don't work as hard as I used to. I deliberately don't. And I... You know, we don't do as much. I mean, I would not be having this conversation with you if we were doing, you know, the amount of millionaires we used to do when we were doing one every single night of the week for about 4 weeks, and then I was doing radio every morning and all that. I mean, I don't do that stuff anymore.
No, no.
But yeah, I mean, on my world travels or whatever, it's really weird when you. I mean, I was in somewhere like the Seychelles about a month ago. I was in Ulaanbaatar last Christmas. I'm going, it's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And some guy will come on with a big beard and a moustache, but basically he's being me, going, what a friend, 50-50 and all this. Because they have to do it the same way, because that's kind of the deal for buying it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but also, the lifelines, the catchphrases, whatever, they do them in English, which I find really weird.
Oh, nice.
I saw it in Kazakhstan, of all places, and there's this great big bear of a Russian man going, I see audience, blah, 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 phone a friend. I'm thinking, this is surreal.
It's insane. It's insane.
I think because it's such a simple format and it's so immediately recognisable, it just works. Yeah. It works everywhere.
Absolutely. Now, let's go to relaxation, because I know that you're from research, extensive research, that you're a keen fisherman. I know that.
Yeah.
From reading an article that you wrote for The Times.
Yeah.
Where's your best place that you like to fish? Because my dad's a keen fisherman as well.
Come on. It's like, what's the nicest woman you've ever met?
Well, I'm not going to ask you that question.
I live by, and it will not be by chance. I mean, I have two lakes in my big garden now.
Really?
But I don't go there because my kids fish in the garden. And it's down the end of the thing. I live 5 minutes from a river, which I spend an awful lot of time at.
Mm-hmm.
I think Canada is probably one of the greatest countries in the world. The people are brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
They're like Americans without all the nonsense. They never wish you know, a nice day and all that nonsense.
Yeah.
The Canadian fishing for just about everything, offshore, inshore, all the lakes in Canada, the rivers, whatever, is fantastic. And Russia.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit of a trawl getting to Russia, and the Russians aren't particularly friendly. They're certainly not like Canadians. But the actual fishing is fantastic. When you get there, it's brilliant.
Lovely.
So, yeah, those two would be, for me, the best two in the world.
Do you think that's the best way for you to relax?
Except I don't really relax. I come back from fishing, and, you know, my live-in Lady Jane says, you're completely exhausted. And I go, I know, but, you know, it's really stressful and really fishing. I don't know, my best times are when I'm not working. I'm just chilling out around the house.
Yeah.
Fishing actually really winds me up.
Really? I would have thought it would have been.
No, it is. It's like everything. But I really want to catch want to catch big fish and stuff.
Yeah, okay. Any other new shows in the pipeline? Or are you sticking to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Sticking to what you're good at?
Well, that's going on. It's second of my life. No, I mean, I have to say that, you know, when it started, I suppose, you know, 15 years ago, now, when it started, it was like, oh, my God, for me, once it took off for about the first 2 or 3 years, I mean, it was just huge. It was an international phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. And it still is by the looks of it.
How on earth do I ever follow this? What do I do? And now I just won't. I mean, as and when it grinds down, whether it's this year, next year, whatever, You know, I'm certainly not looking for a brand new game show. I'm just not interested.
So you wouldn't,
I've sort of done the ultimate game show.
So you wouldn't go back.
I'll probably just lie on a beach and count me money. I mean, that sounds very grand, but I probably will.
You wouldn't.
I love doing bits of radio, though. I mean, I filmed a load of stuff last year. I was around the world last year doing railways. I'll probably do some more of that later on this year. I'm kind of in a really good place now. I just enjoy what I do, but if there's not a lot of it around, I do less, and I get on an airplane and go away.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, talking about how you wouldn't go back to various things, you wouldn't go back to doing Man O' Man, would you?
Funnily, well, I tell you what, now this is a really bizarre mention, because last night, about midnight-ish after we'd done a show last night, a millionaire show, I was chatting to a very high-powered ITV gentleman, and we were talking about stuff.
Yes.
And he said, God, he said, do you remember doing Man O' Man? I said, Man O' Man was one of the best. I mean, it wasn't the greatest entertainment.
No, no.
For me as a guy, though, it was a fantastic show.
I mean, because you've got the likes of now Take Me Out and Blind Date, and then you had that.
It was kind of Take Me Out, but, all female audience. They were all drunk. I mean, it was just surreal. I mean, they were... I think this is the first time I ever saw, girls from Essex and girls from Glasgow behaving really badly. It was truly splendid.
Okay.